part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 87, part two.
87, part two,
of
John.
A two-part episode.
Of a three-part episode, suck-ass.
And jizz and skiz.
No
I love
doubt.
When you talk dirty to me.
Don't you?
I love it.
It's out of sight.
I love it.
That is out of sight.
I think name-calling is some of the funniest shit. Like when somebody just loses it, you know, isn't that funny?
It is.
Somebody just like loses it.
Oh, that reminds me, John. I lost it for the first time with the kids this weekend.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, for the first time. I have a daughter who's 9. My son is 3. And after the gig on Friday night, Saturday morning, it's like 7 in the morning. I got to bed at 3. I don't know what time you got to bed.
Because I went to White Castle.
You did?
I did.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because you said it, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm driving. I'm thinking, okay, if there's no way for me to be on my way there, I'm not going. I'm like, well, if I don't stop and turn right to go to my house, I'm kind of on my way there, right?
Well, when I drove home, I drove by Taco Bell. I was like, yeah, they got this rat thing in the news. I don't want rat shits in my chicken supreme burrito. And then there's a McDonald's that's now open 24 hours. But I was like, McDonald's, what I need is a White Castle. But I didn't want to drive out of my way. But apparently you did drive out of your way.
No, I didn't. I justified it.
Well, if I knew you were going, John, I would have tagged along. We could have had White Castle.
I had to eat it in the parking lot.
I get home at 3. I get to bed. I don't know what the hell time I fell asleep. But it's 7 in the morning. 7 in the morning. My daughter and my son are running around the first floor, hooting and hollering. My daughter's learning how to play the recorder. You know?
Oh, yeah. I've been through that.
She has two of them. One for her, and then she gives one to my son, and they're tooting on these things, and I'm going out of my fucking mind.
Shut the fuck up.
So at one point, I fucking lost it for the first time with the kids. I go downstairs. I'm exhausted. And when I got right to the bottom of the stairs, I saw them trying to hide under a blanket, and they're cackling, they're giggling, and it infuriates me. So I walk over, I whip the blanket off, I grab my son, I sit him on the couch, I separate him, and I start to say some shit, right? Hey, I'm trying to sleep. You gotta be quiet. And then the second sentence was all fucked up. It was like it was the third part of our podcast. Yeah. It didn't make any sense at all.
Because you want to say the F word and shit,
well,
and you got to think of something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that may have played into it, but what I said
you
was...
You say the...
it was completely bad. It didn't make any sense at all. And on the podcast, I laugh when that happens, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to be, hey, pissed off.
Yeah.
And then I totally, right in front of my kids, the only time I ever lose it in front of my kids, and I fuck everything up when I'm saying it. So I ignored it. I acted like it didn't happen, you know, because she's 9 and he's 3. He's 3. He doesn't even know. She's 9. She probably figured it out. But hopefully my presence was so scary and dominating that she didn't... figure it out how stupid I was. So then I stormed back upstairs and I slept for 2 more hours. But then later in the day, the wife was like, yeah, hey, what happened? Because you not only scared the kids, because Emma came and talked to me about it, but you scared the shit out of me, too.
Oh, like, oh, come on.
Well, I'm never like that. And I think that's why it was so shocking, because I'm Mr. Fucking Easygoing, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing bothers me. Like, the kids will send my wife through the roof every goddamn night. But me, I'm Mr. Calm, Cool, and Collected John. But I just lost it after this gig. Because I had talked to him before. I said, when Daddy goes to a gig, he needs to sleep.
He needs to sleep.
You guys need to be quiet.
I was up at 7 o'clock, took a shower, then just laid around. And then
seven
the wife.
O'clock.
Yeah.
Well, I was up at 7 o'clock too, but I was all groggy and yelling at my kids.
No, I took a shower and moped around. And then the kids, they went off with the wife somewhere. And I said, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Oh, okay. Laid on the couch. Oh.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. And then they came home, and I'm like, were you sleeping? Oh, no, no. And my wife's like, oh, okay. I go in the bathroom, look in the mirror. I got, like, those lines on my face, and my hair is, like, in a point. Were you sleeping? No, no, just, you know.
When I'm exhausted,
TV.
I look like Uncle Fester. I got the big rings under the eyes.
So today, man, today I decided to venture out into the abyss out of the house.
Abyss of what?
Out of my house, my shoebox.
So what did you do? Where'd you go?
Well, I went to go to the car to get the Arcos.
Okay,
so
that's
I could
20
record
feet
the show.
Away.
Right. To me, that's the abyss on Sunday. So I walk out there, and as I'm walking out, the entire steps are glass, just ice, just
ice.
Pure ice. And I don't really...
This is out on your front porch.
Front porch.
Concrete.
Concrete ice. Steps. And I lose it, man.
On which step?
On the second one.
On the second one.
The foot goes, almost hits me in the face. I kicked it so high. It's like, and I'm like, oh, I'm going right on the tailbone. But somehow I caught myself with my right leg on a dry piece of stair. But I had to support my entire weight because I was going down backwards with my hand on the railing. And my shoulder popped out. And not only did it pop out, I heard this in my arm. Like every little piece of...
Which shoulder? Your
right
shoulder?
My right. Just heard...
It's like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon, right?
It was.
You could pop it out and pop it back in.
Here's the thing. My arm was folded over my chest because the shoulder was popped out the back. Okay? So I'm jumping up and down on my drive like going... Like a little kid, right?
Like a sissy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it hurt so bad, I was laughing. You ever do that?
No.
It's like, oh. And boop, it like ought to just miraculously just pop back.
Just pop back?
It was out. It was out of the socket, Scott. It was like backwards. My hand was facing the other way.
See, like Mel Gibson, he would have to ram his shoulder into something
to
get it back
that.
In.
I just danced around like a pussy.
Like a big pussy. Pop back
like
in.
A dancing pussy on my driveway.
Maybe the Lord was watching over and he said, oh, I can't let him go on dancing around like a pussy like that.
And the sweat just started squirting out of me. Like, I was like in shock right after. Because the pain was so excruciating. And my wife was out with my daughter and my son was home playing video games. And I'm thinking, should I call her? Do I need to call 911? No.
For what? Because you're sweating?
I'm just late. No, because my shoulder just, I don't know if I broke it or dislocated it. It wouldn't work, Scott. I couldn't even touch anything.
Could you raise it above your
arm? No, I couldn't do anything.
Oh,
I was like,
I would call
911. Like, it was like malarm.
I would try to use my shoulder to call 911, see if that would work.
It was so numb. I couldn't even lift it to open the door or anything.
Well, how are you doing now? I can see John now.
It hurts a lot. Raise your arm. Over your head. It hurts a lot.
Keep going.
No, that's it, man.
That's it.
It.
Come on.
That's it.
Raise your other arm. How high can that one go? Oh, yeah, you should probably go see the doctor.
It's toast. It's literally toast.
We need to call off practice for tomorrow. How are you going to play drums?
Don't you blame me to call off practice, you big pussy. I always rise to the occasion.
Oh, you sure do, John. Rise to the occasion.
Here's a story I got for you. I was at Marty's wedding, right? And Marty said, hey, I got a live band at my wedding. I said, yeah, great. Well, we're going to play some songs, right? Okay, sure. Well, I stood up in his wedding, and we rode from the church to the reception hall in this limo, and it was like a fucking 45-minute drive. So we're doing Jaeger shots. I brought a flask full of Jaeger, and we're pounding it. And we get there, and I'm fucking hammered. And I just keep drinking. I'm doing martinis there.
Why is that? Why do you get hammered before you show up? Were you molested as a young child? What?
No.
What
is, no.
Did
it
you
was
want
just
to shave
of,
your head
no,
like
no,
Britney
no.
Spears? Do you need to go in rehab?
It was just one of those things where you should talk. You should fucking talk. Pauly B podcast. I think I'm going to throw up. I have to go home. I don't feel good.
And I did shave my head soon afterwards.
No, when I just was, you know, partying. I was in the moment. But I hadn't eaten. You know, that always fucks you up, right?
Fucking A,
so
man.
We get there, and I'm pounding whatever food I can. But it's too late.
Too late.
So I'm sitting there at the table with my chin on my arm, on my hand. And you know how your face kind of slides off?
Oh, yeah.
I was doing that, and the wife told me, yeah, you're embarrassing me. You got to stop that. What? Fuck you. Stop what? What the fuck are you talking about? Fuck off.
So then what?
She says, just sit there and keep your mouth shut. Okay. So I'm just sitting there. And Phil says something. This is when Phil.
Not Phil the newsman.
Rest his soul.
Phil the bass player.
Bass player. Marty and Brian say, yeah, I don't think. And Zach was there too. Yeah, I don't think Morley's going to be able to do it.
Do what? What did you have to do?
Play drums.
At Marty's wedding?
Yeah.
Did you have a song worked out?
Yeah,
oh
yeah, we had tons of songs.
Oh, you were going to play more than one?
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. Look at Morley. Look at him. And they're looking at me, and I'm doing the chin thing. The hand sliding off. And Phil says, you don't got to worry about Morley. He will always rise to the occasion.
All right, then.
Rise to the occasion. He never fails to please the crowd.
And what happened?
I got up there and I did my job, man. Bam. Right on.
Boop, right boop, on.
Boom. Played perfect. And then I said to the wife, we got to go home. And we went home.
Vomit? Did you vomit?
No.
No? Nice.
I don't think so. But those are the days. But yeah, my shoulder is fucked up. And I told the wife today, I have to, after hearing about Joe's dad dying and your grandma passing and stuff. And of course, this show is dedicated to both of them. I got to see a doctor because whatever the fuck's wrong with me ain't right. I'm thinking pulmonary embolism.
That is so profound. Whatever the fuck is wrong with me ain't right.
Ain't it? Ain't it profound?
It is. That's so deep on so many levels. All right, John. Well, let's try to cheer you up with some celebrity news. Get this, John. You knew the Academy Awards. They were going on, I think, last time we were podcasting, right?
Right.
Well, get this. Scorsese. Grateful.
Scorsese.
For belated Oscar recognition. Director Martin Scorsese.
Six times the charm, right?
Is glad he didn't receive an Academy Award for directing earlier in his career because it might have changed the way he made movies. Scorsese had received 6 nominations for directing and 8 nominations overall in his 40-year career before winning for The Departed on Sunday. Have you seen The Departed yet, John?
Not yet. I have the movie, though.
I saw it. It is good. The only thing that I didn't buy was the relationship between Damon and the hot ass chick. That's the only thing that didn't work for me, John. Other than that, the movie is fucking kick ass. Anyway, it's about getting the picture made, but when you've won something, you appreciate it. But when you win something.
Oh.
After making The Aviator, Scorsese says he decided to just relax and make the best film I can. He adds, good thing I didn't get the Oscar before because maybe it would have changed the kind of movies I would have made. I don't know if it was strong enough. I'm glad it's taken this long. It's been worth it. Now let's just cover Scorsese's career, John.
Scorsese.
And let me, it's going to be a little bit of quiz for you too. See what your movie knowledge, acumen, what kind of movie knowledge acumen you have, John.
Ah, right, okay.
So Scorsese directed The Taxi Driver in 1976. It was nominated, but it did not win. What picture won?
Picture
in 76 that beat out Taxi Driver for best picture.
Rocky.
Of the year. That's right, John. Rocky.
Thank you.
Rocky Balboa. Absolutely.
Hey, yo, Adrian. I never knocked on a door before. I never. Hey, this is my turtle's coffin link. You know.
Is that what his turtles were named?
Yeah.
No.
Coffin Link. Come on. What was his dog's name?
Butkus.
That's right. Butkus. Hey, yo, Adrian.
Butkus.
Hey, yo, Paulie. Why you got to be such a cocksucker?
All right. And then in 1980, Scorsese with Raging Bull, nominated for Best Picture, but it lost, John. It lost. Do you know what it lost to?
On Golden Pond.
No. That is not correct. I'll give you one more chance.
1980.
I
don't know.
Ordinary People.
I wouldn't even.
Mary Tyler Moore, Donald years. Sutherland, Timothy Hutton. About, and really, it's the first story about an emo, a crybaby emo kid. Do you remember that? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Timothy Hutton. In My Thesis, John, is the first crybaby emo kid. Then he directed Goodfellas, John. Goodfellas. Nominated, but lost. Do you know what it lost to?
No.
Dances with Wolves.
Dances with...
Kevin Costner.
Tatanka.
Tatanka.
That movie was shit.
So,
Tatanka.
Theoretically speaking, Scorsese
Tatanka
could have had
Tata.
Four Best Picture Oscars, but he only has one. And the most egregious is Raging Bull losing to fucking Ordinary People.
Wow.
They might as well call that the crybaby emo movie. And then, as I was doing research for this, John, Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse
Now by Coppola. Lost. Do you know what movie it lost to? And Breaking Away. Have you ever seen Breaking Away?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Both these movies lost to this movie for Best Picture.
What year?
1980.
They lost to
this picture for Best
Fuck
Picture.
You.
Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse. Breaking Away.
That's a gay movie. Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse. And Breaking Away.
A 1980. The Right Stuff?
No. Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, my God.
In our last celebrity news, Jared Leto. Are you familiar with Jared Leto?
No. Now,
he's a inspiring young actor, Jared Leto. He's banged Lindsay Lohan. He's banged some of the hotter chicks. He first came on the scene with Prefontaine. And he's been in other movies. But he also has a band. So if he had a webcast, he'd say, I don't know if you know this. I'm not only an actor, I'm in a band.
Nice.
Jared Leto broke his nose and suffered other injuries at a show in El Paso, Texas. The fucktard was heard after he ran into the audience during his song, and thousands of fans overpowered security and rushed toward him on the floor. Along with his nose, which was unintentionally broken, Leto suffered a foot injury and superficial injuries to his face and body. No fans were seriously injured, according to the band's spokesperson.
Nice.
So Jared Leto gets overpowered by the fans and gets his nose broken, John.
Wow.
All right, turning to science news.
John. No. I got a celebrity story.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What is it?
American Idol has this chick, Antonella Barba.
Antonella Barba.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. And there's been this big controversy about naked pictures of her on the internet.
Oh, and porn, too.
And there's actually none.
Yeah, it's all bogus.
It's all bullshit.
It's a porn actress, right?
Yeah, it's a porn actress.
That looks
and
just
they're saying
like...
it's her. She has taken some racy pictures. Like, you could see the side of her ass. I'm actually looking at him now. She's pretty hot. You could see the side of her ass. You could see a picture where she's got a wet T-shirt, so you could see her nipples. And she looks pretty damn hot. But nothing, you know, just like pinup calendar girl going out and partying. But this fuck up, Glenn Beck.
Glenn.
That's on CNN.
Beck.
He's a radio guy that now has a TV show. He's a fucking idiot. And he's talking to this chick and he's interviewing her and talking about these pictures and basically saying that it's making a big deal out of it. And then he says something that kind of like inappropriate, asks her to basically take her clothes off. And he'll take pictures of her. And here's a sound clip of it.
Somebody would get a picture of you, and then it would be posted all around, and it'll happen in your office.
Yeah, possibly.
You don't think so?
Well, it depends. You know,
Dina, I've got some time and a camera. Why don't you stop by? No. Okay.
Those are loud crickets, man.
I know. My ears are like, wow.
The funniest part of that, we got to clip that out as the, no. Okay, then. We got to clip that out and use that for future webcasts.
Well, it depends.
Oh, I could do it right now, man. I got the skills.
You got the tools. You got the talent.
No. Okay.
No. Okay, then. What a douche.
No. Okay.
Here's the thing.
No. Okay.
If you want to be Howard Stern,
fuck you.
Then have a show like Howard Stern.
Yeah.
But these guys are fucking supposed to be journalists. It's like that Ann Coulter calling John Edwards a faggot.
Faggot, yeah.
You're supposedly part of the news elite.
Yeah.
See, John and Scott on a webcast can say faggot. We can call each other faggots.
We're total talk nonsense.
Because we're total talk nonsense. But you sell books. You're an author. You're in the public. You're a part of the news organization. You're not supposed to call other people faggots.
And she says, I'm not against gays. I'm not anti-gay. I just think they shouldn't get married. But I like to call them faggots. It's okay to do it if you're trying to be funny.
Well, she's calling a guy who's married, who's running for president, a faggot.
And she has no nothing to back it up. She hasn't vetted
nothing. And I
guess
she
said the same thing about Clinton, and she said the same thing about Hillary. And I think Man Coulter, if you listen to her voice, she talks like this.
She's got a fucking Adam's apple.
Yeah.
You think she's got a cock, John?
Oh, yeah. In her ass.
Her own?
She's a whore.
Yeah.
She's a fucking whore. A man whore. She's a man.
It's just like Sylvia Brown. These people that'll do anything just to make money.
Did you hear Penn about the alpha kids and the mentalists and all that stuff?
No.
About how they staged he used to stage seances.
Penn?
Yeah. And he stopped doing it because he couldn't handle the emotional
Yeah, because people really buy into that shit.
And he would say at the beginning of each seance, hey, this is fake. We're not, it's all BS, you know, and we're going to do the seance, but it's fake. It's all fake. And, oh, okay, so they do the thing. And they afterwards, people are coming up to him saying, yeah, I know you have to do this, you know, and say it's fake because of the CIA and all that.
CIA.
But I really believe you. I believe you really came in contact with my mother and all this. And he's like, no, it was fake. It's all fake. It's fake. Oh, no, I know you have to say that because the FBI and all that. And he couldn't hack it. So
that's
they stopped doing it.
That's because people, the majority of people are fucking stupid, John.
And they had to do stuff like this to prove, just to show these real paranormal scientists that are actually trying to put together some real science together, that this has all been faked. All these people that fake it, they bend spoons, they do all this stuff. They have this great skill of listening to you and picking up on certain details in your life that you don't even know.
Well,
about.
Fishing. They call it fishing. They throw out a statement or several statements in a row, and then when you react to one of them, they identify that and focus on that. And it's a bunch of shit. Like this Sylvia Brown, what a despicable piece of shit.
She should be fucking smashed in the face with a Bible.
Right.
What?
And unfortunately for us, John, being atheists, there is no karma. There is no damnation. She's just going to die, and worms are going to eat her, and she's going to have lived her life scamming other people.
Yeah. What kind of life is that?
Fucking despicable.
I remember one time I was watching after Walter Payton died. I forget which. Maybe it was Dave Duerson or Singletary or somebody was giving a speech at Soldier's Field.
Soldier Field.
No, not the Grabowski say soldiers.
Soldiers.
And the thing he said was that when you look at somebody's headstone, people seem to concentrate on the when you from and to. So, you know, born 1964, died 2007, whatever. But the important part is the dash, the part in the middle. What did you do with that dash?
The dash.
What did you do with your life?
Fucking
any
A,
importance.
Man.
And Sylvia Brown, her dash is just a big fucking scam.
Scam. They might as well put, when was she born? Like, got to be like in the 20s, that old hag.
She's never been born.
And then instead of the dash, they should just put scam. And then when she fucking dies, and hopefully that'll be tomorrow. That fucking piece of shit. Anyway, John.
How can you do that to people, you know?
Yeah. And then Montel, you know, I can see.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Sylvia Brown, she's fucking mental deranged. You can make a case that she's so mentally out of it that she actually believes her own bullshit.
But you figure Montel's
but
an
Montel,
educated guy.
What the fuck, man? You stupid the fucker.
Fuck.
Fuck. What the fuck? Yeah.
What an idiot.
He's an ass. Montel.
So you got science news?
Yeah, I got science news. Pope Benedict, John, on Saturday, condemned genetic engineering and other scientific practices that allow people to select so-called designer babies by screening them for defects. In a speech to the Pontifical Academy for Life. Did you know there was such a thing?
No.
The Pontifical Academy for Life. Or the PAFL, a church body of experts, the Pope also attacked artificial insemination and the widespread use of medical tests that can detect diseases and inherit disorders in embryos. In developed countries, there is a growing interest for the most sophisticated biotechnological research to induce subtle and extensive eugenic methods in the obsessive search for the perfect child, the Pope said. And if that ain't a mouthful of a sentence right there. Also in science news, Senator calls for answer on creation of the universe. This is out of Nashville. Senator Raymond Finney proposes to use the legislative process to get an answer to the question of whether the universe was created by a supreme being under Senate Resolution 17, introduced 17. By the Maryville Republican. The answer would come from the State Education Commissioner Lana Sievers in report form no later than January 15, 2008. Finney, a retired physician. So this guy was a fucking doctor, and he still believes in fairy tales. Would you want that guy?
No.
Checking your shoulder out, John?
No way.
Would you want him sticking his finger up
my
your,
ass?
Your tetanus?
Maybe. Maybe.
Said Monday that his objective is to formally prod the Department of Education into a dialogue about the teaching of evolution in school. Science classes without also teaching the alternative of creationism. Or intelligent design, John. The move would thus renew a debate that has raged off and on in Tennessee since 1925.
Wow.
When the 64th General Assembly enacted a law forbidding the teaching of evolution, setting the stage for the famous Scopes Monkey Trial.
Wow.
Finney said there is no doubt in his mind that everything in the universe, including John and Scott, were created by a supreme being. There has never been any proof offered that there's never been any proof offered by Darwin's theory of evolution that is correct, he said. As the resolution is written, I sounded like Papucci.
No, evolutionary kind of guy.
As the resolution is written.
If Sievers does answer no to the first question, stating the universe was not created by a supreme being, she would be offered the General Assembly's admiration for being able to decide conclusively a question that has long perplexed and occupied the attention of scientists, philosophers, theologians, educators, and John and Scott.
Wow.
But if she answers yes, or states that the answer to the creation of the universe is uncertain, then there is a follow-up question that must be answered. Why is creationism not being taught in the Tennessee schools? What a goddamn joke. And another waste of, not of our taxpayers' money, but the people in Tennessee, well, they're too stupid to figure it out anyway.
Yeah.
They still believe in this shit.
Right.
It's fairy tales, John. Why don't we ask the Department of Education right here in United States, in Illinois, John,
in a
blue state. Why don't we ask them, is Santa Claus real?
Yeah, right.
Or does the Easter Bunny really leave eggs at my house? We want a definitive answer by January 15, 2008. And if you can't answer, we're going to put it in the curriculum of our books.
All right, we got to take it to part three.
Part three, John.
So hang on. We'll be right back.
Right back.
Just hang on.
Hang on.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for
part three. Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.